From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. While the number of childhood cancer diagnoses has increased over the past couple of decades, the patient survival rate has also increased dramatically. We'll hear one survivor's story as we explore the long-term health effects of childhood cancer and its sometimes aggressive treatments. The Golisano Children's Hospital hosts a conference on the topic later this month. Plus, what could going green do for your business? Ahead of the Florida Department of Environmental Protection's Greening Your Bottom Line Conference and Expo, we'll explore green innovations that can be adopted by businesses from a broad spectrum of industries, as well as partnership programs that already exist at the state and local level. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Greening your business is the focus for the rest of our hour as we explore how adopting green innovations and business practices can affect businesses in a wide spectrum of industries. Our conversation comes ahead of the Florida Department of Environmental Protection's second annual Greening Your Bottom Line Expo and Conference. That's at the Harborside Event Center in downtown Fort Myers, October 16th and 17th. Joining me now in studio is Florida DEP's Ombudsman, Terry Cerullo. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Oh, thank you for inviting us.
And with us by phone also from Tallahassee is Brad Stombach. He directs the DEP's Office of Sustainable Initiatives and will be speaking at the conference as well. Brad, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for the opportunity. I greatly appreciate it.
We're also talking with Tom Franklin, who directs the Green Business Partnership in Sarasota County. Tom, welcome.
Thank you, John.
And President and CEO of the Southwest Regional Manufacturers Association and conference speaker, Betsy Allen, is with us by phone as well. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
And lastly, sir, please introduce yourself. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm John Eichelhardt. I'm the director of the local DEP office in Fort Myers, regulatory office. Thank you.
So the South office here.
Oh, yes.
Excellent, excellent. And I invite our listeners to join the conversation as well. If you own or operate a business and you've made some green innovations, give us a call and tell us about them. Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org or comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. And Terry, let's start with you. Going over the agenda for this conference and expo, I see a rather ambitious schedule of keynote speeches, breakout sessions. Tell us just generally about this conference and who it's for.
Well, the conference, again, is next Wednesday and Thursday, October 16th and 17th. And the target audience is the manufacturing industry. That's why Betsy and her group has been just a great supporter of it. The hospitality industry. We have speakers talking about laundry and how to decrease water use and appropriate use of chemicals there. We have the Southwest Water Management, South Florida Water Management District coming to talk about the Water Calculator Program and Water Star Program, and working with the U.S. Green Building Council, Wittel-Tego Peoples Gas, about how development can be reduce energy by using practical experiences in building homes. On the hospitality side, we have an ambitious group of speakers from the Intercontinental Hotel Group, from Audubon International. We have the Collier County Convention Visitor Bureau is moderating that program. And that's for the hospitality industry to talk about going green, being a part of the Green Lodging Association or other greening certification programs, and just talking about how they can reduce water use, how they can reduce waste use, and how that affects the increase in their financial bottom line. And that's the whole theme of the program for any manufacturer, any small business owner. And, you know, some of our speakers are from our largest companies here in Southwest Florida. Our new company, Hertz Corporation, is sending one of their global managers on sustainability to talk about Hertz's living journey. It's if you go to their website, and from talking to Joy Lehman, Hertz actually walks the talk. They are in their daily, their new building, their building in Estero is going to be a LEED certified building. They really are a sustainable company. Another local company is Arthrex, the manufacturers, a global leader in orthopedic medical supplies and other issues, medical of devices. And again, they use the green practices to increase their financial bottom line and give their customers products they know that are safe and sustainable for their customers, their patients, and so forth. So that's what it's all about, is getting companies together, small to large, talking about little things to big things that can help increase their financial bottom line. You know, we say waste management. Actually, it's productive waste. You can, you know, recycle that material, get profit from that, and reduce your waste management or waste pro, whoever company you use, bill, and again, show a profit there. Tom up in Sarasota, their green partnership has demonstrated that tremendously. Betsy Allen is really a great supporter of this process. And in fact, Betsy has offered her services at the event to do some educational classes free of charge for those who attend. And Betsy will certainly describe those in more detail than I could. And Brad, as our director of sustainability in Tallahassee, travels the state with the green lodging facilities and also the clean marina. In fact, on October 17th, the second day of the event, where Joy Lehman from Hertz is speaking as a keynote speaker, we're also going to recognize the Florida clean marinas that have been in that program for 10 or more years in Southwest Florida, from Sarasota to Collier. And so that's going to be a nice reward for those marinas that have joined the program. We talk about clean water, quality water. You know, right there, these marinas are doing the best they can to help improve water quality on our recreational side.
Brad Stombach, tell us more about those programs, the Florida Green Lodging Program and the Clean Marina Program.
Sure. My office essentially controls and manages three of the department's programs that are centered in voluntary, non-regulatory issues, with the goal of providing technical assistance on both general green dynamics and also acting as a conduit into the districts for some more of our compliance assistance programs. Each one is geared to providing these facilities that are part of these industries for the recognition, for going above and beyond the basic line that's needed to be green and to meet just the basic regulatory compliance. One thing that our department's really focusing on right now is getting folks to the level of compliance and educating them before any harm comes through. My programs, the first one that Terry has mentioned, is the Florida Green Lodging Program. With that one, we cover the entire state, focusing on the need to really to help hospitality facilities, whether it's a four-bedroom bed and breakfast down in the Keys all the way through a 5,000-room resort in Orlando. We cover the entire group, and we essentially help them through their process, covering everything from education and communications, dealing with their guests, and especially very heavily with training their staff on different green initiatives in their facility, all the way through waste management activities. Recycling is a very large part. The program initially, when it was started in 2004, was based out of a recycling program here in the department. They saw that these facilities generated a lot of recyclable material, especially paper and cardboard. And so they went in that aspect to bring them along and to recognize them for their efforts. We also cover energy use, water use. Water is very important for here in the state, so we focus on that pretty heavily. And then also indoor air quality. Currently, we have 696 designated green lodges across the state, and as I mentioned, it's everything from a four-bedroom bed and breakfast all the way through a 5,000-plus room resort. All of our properties, we have about 172,000 green hotel rooms in the state. It's about 40% of the overall number of rooms that we have here. And just in our South District, we have 107 designated green lodges in that area, and it's spread pretty evenly between Lee County and Monroe, and then some of the other counties are fairly smaller as well. Just in Fort Myers Beach, we have 21 designated properties. So folks that come down to that area for tourism and ecotourism opportunities, or even just business travel that have a desire to stay in a green option, there's plenty to choose from in all levels of lodging, whether it's a smaller budget, lower-end property that caters to business travelers all the way up to the nice, beautiful five-star resorts. With our Clean Marina program, it's a very similar to the Green Lodging program, but it deals with our marinas, our boatyards, and our clean marine retailers. As Terry mentioned, these facilities have a direct link to the water. Water is very important to the state. In that one, we have 275 designated marinas across the state. Boat yards are a little bit different. The marinas are more recreationally focused and commercially with some of the commercial fishermen. But boat yards are, at the end of the day, a fairly industrial activity. They're tearing boats down. They're repainting them. They're doing retrofits. And then we also have a program for clean marine retailers, which is facilities that sell boats but also provide a level of maintenance, whether it's minor engine maintenance or a little bit more detailed maintenance, but not all the way through the boatyard maintenance issues. Facilities in that program, one of the drivers that we have with that to help them along that green path is designated clean marinas receive a 10% discount on their state lands lease. Which has been very helpful during the recession to keep some of them in business and to reduce their cost, their operating cost. That program deals with a lot of hands-on information with recycling, hazardous waste issues, which are a little more detailed than what we see in the Green Lodging Program. And then we also, the other program I manage is the Clean Vessel Act Grant Program. And that program is funded through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. My office acts as a pass-through for funds, and we reimburse marinas 75% of the cost to install, purchase, operate, and maintain boater pump-out facilities. This allows boaters to send their boater waste to treatment works there locally instead of just discharging it over the side, directly preventing harm to our waters in the state. To date, we've in the last 4 years, we've given out about $4.6 million to these marinas to reimburse them. Over the life of the program, we've done 440 projects, and those projects combined have directly diverted just under 14 million gallons of sewage from being placed in the state's waters.
Right, right. And with the reimbursement there, that sounds like a great benefit, because I know for a lot of these types of projects, you know, maybe it might just be doing something simple like changing how you use paper and making sure you recycle, but some of them could be really expensive green retrofits. Do you, and maybe this is a question not just for you, Brad, but for everybody on the panel here. I mean, do you run into much opposition from business owners who maybe don't understand how going green would impact them in a positive way, or feel like the initial off, you know, a cost that they would have to make to maybe do an expensive retrofit would not work out in the end?
Well, we recently went to a grand opening of a bank here in Southwest Florida, one of their branches, and we met their vice president of sustainability. And he was talking about some of the simple things they've done, like the shading on their windows. You know, they had a window design company come in, just like we would for our windows. And they have a material that during the, you know, the hot of the day when banks are open, they're not open at night, you know.
Right.
So they were able to draw these blinds down and get a significant reduction in their cooling apparatus and things like that. Changing their light bulbs in their parking lot, that was a big cost saver. Obviously, they're not open at night, but they are open in the dusk, and they have people using the ATM machines. So they need the brilliancy of the lights, but they were able to convert those to a less costly, so increasing their financial ability. So they did the little things that, you know, they brought in some people that showed them what they can do without spending, you know, millions of dollars. And his John, I don't know if you remember how much he actually said they were reducing, but the president of the company was there, and he was talking to John and I, and he was just trouting how much they're saving with these little things they're doing within the company. You know, the state building, we have the light controls. You know, whenever someone leaves their office, the lights go off. And in the evening, of course, we have them time to go on it, off
sure.
at approximately 7 p.m. and come back on at 6 a.m. So those are things that people can do with their local contractor that could help reduce their energy. And, of course, water. We all know about using water reducers, you know, making sure your gaskets are all fit and trim, so you're not dripping water all night long. I think I really apologize. I don't know how much, but the number of gallons that are lost just by the dripping of a sink for 24 hours, it's staggering.
Yeah.
You know, so those are things any company can do to help reduce.
I think in addition, we've also been – this Greening Your Bottom Line is a series we've been putting on, and we find that the regulated community, like auto shops, 97% of the auto shops want to do the right thing. They want to prevent pollution, but they often are doing it in ways that are rather expensive. So we put together workshops with all the auto shop owners within a county together, and then we trade ideas, and it's a learning experience, it's a networking experience, and the end result is they're able to reduce pollution, green up the shop a bit, and make money, or spend less money doing it. And this event that we're doing next week is the, you know, that's a larger step. It's the basis for it. It's an opportunity for folks to come learn, to network, and then to market their products, which will save other businesses money.
Right. And Betsy Allen, I want to bring you into the conversation now with Southwest Regional Manufacturers Association. When you spoke the other day, you seemed to indicate to me that there's some common misconceptions people have about the nature of manufacturing in our region. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, you know, I would just comment first, nationwide, manufacturing has a huge impact on the economy. So if we save a dollar in manufacturing, it has a ripple effect elsewhere. So, for example, if we make $100 in manufacturing, it generates $143 for the entire economy. And every additional job in manufacturing equates to 2.91 more jobs elsewhere. So the savings that manufacturing can create by going green really has a significant multiplier effect. I love what Terry's talking about in terms of the little things, but there's also rather big things that can be done because of the size of manufacturing. And manufacturing in Southwest Florida, by the way, does not meet the triple D qualification of manufacturing in the more legacy Midwest manufacturing.
Sure.
It's not dangerous, dark, and dirty down here. It's a very clean manufacturing. It tends to be niche manufacturing, high value, high margin manufacturing. So it's the average wage down here is above the average wage nationwide, which is $70,000. Believe it or not, 85% of the public believe that manufacturing is driving the economic sustainability of the country, and 87% of adults will say that the defense of the country depends on manufacturing, yet only 30% of them are talking to their kids about going into manufacturing. So a skilled workforce is definitely an issue down here. And the news press has an event coming up on October 29th as well about the importance of the workforce for the sustainability of our economy down here in Southwest Florida, which, of course, includes things like reducing, reusing, recycling, and recovery.
Sure, sure. And that's interesting what you said about, you know, adults not maybe encouraging their kids to go into it. Is that primarily what would be holding back the growth of the industry locally, or is it doing well here?
You know, it's doing very well here, but 83%. So the manufacturers in our association are reporting to me anywhere from 20 to 50 to 300% growth this year.
Wow.
With that said, 83% of them will tell you that the bottleneck to their growth is a skilled workforce. So they're coming, and that skilled workforce, by the way, the purpose of SRMA, the Southwest Regional Manufacturers Association, is to engage employees in sustainability efforts for manufacturing, to enlarge manufacturing in Southwest Florida through economic development, and to enhance the growth of existing manufacturers. And the way to drive sustainability throughout the organization, I believe, and I believe Terry and Brad would probably agree, is through the employees doing the work. They know where the waste is happening.
Yeah, that's a good point there. And Tom Franklin, I want to make sure we bring you into the conversation here as well.
Sure.
You direct the Sarasota County Green Business Partnership. Just tell us generally about that program, because I understand it's become something of a model for similar programs in other municipalities.
Yeah, the program was established, or we started it back in 2004 and rolled it out in 2006 with a grant from the DEP that one of the conditions of the grant was that it be replicable in other communities. So obviously that was one of the big things. What the program generally is it's a holistic look at the environmental performance of a business. So we look at water, air, or water, energy, and solid waste management. it kind of takes the best of the green hotels, the green marinas, the ISO 14001, the former EPA National Performance Track programs, all those programs. We looked at all of those, and we built an application, a seven-page application that covers all sorts of the good ideas we've all heard over the years. But one of the main things it does is it requires the business to establish a green team. And that green team can be one person, depending on the size of the business, up to, we've had green teams of over 20. But what it does is engages the staff and bubbles up all these good ideas with the ultimate goal of the business incorporating environmental considerations into their business thought processes. So instead of just looking at operations and marketing and their fiscal, but also consider the environmental impacts of what they're doing and really making it part of their culture. Today we've certified 175 businesses. It's open to any business in Sarasota County, from the very, very smallest home-based all the way up to Sarasota Memorial Hospital, Tervis Tumbler, Sun Hydraulics, all sorts of different businesses have joined over the years. So it's really been kind of successful, and we're rolling out a new online application with a measurement tool, which we're really excited about. It'll allow a business to measure all sorts of aspects of their business and boil it down into dollars per employee or tons of CO2 emitted per year, all sorts of different metrics that they can look at and actually measure their environmental performance going forward.
Now, do businesses who are part of this partnership enjoy more than just, you know, the cost savings that they might be able to tout by making some of these green innovations? Does this make them more visible in the community even?
Yes. We when a business is certified, we give them a certificate. We give them a door sticker that says Member Since. We produce a new press release about the business. We post them on our website with a little blurb about talks about the business and what they've done environmentally. And people do refer to that listener community to look for green services. They say, you know, I want to go to a hairdresser that's green. And we have a couple hairdressers on the list. We have, you know, you name it, air conditioning companies, automotive repair. People want to go somewhere where it's a green business, and we actually certify the businesses. We go on site and verify that they're doing what they said they would do. So that's kind of one of the hallmarks of our program. It's actually verified on the ground.
Sure. Well, that is unfortunately all the time we have for today's show, but I wanted to thank my guests, Florida Department of Environmental Protection Ombudsman Terry Cerullo, also Director of the Florida DEP South District, John Eaglehart. Also to Brad Stombach, he's with DEP's Sustainable Initiatives Office, Tom Franklin, Director of Sarasota County's Green Business Partnership, President and CEO of the Southwest Regional Manufacturers Association, Betsy Allen. Thank you all for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the Florida Department of Environmental Protection's second annual Greening Your Bottom Line Conference and Expo takes place October 16th and 17th from 8 to 4:30 at the Harborside Event Center in downtown Fort Myers. More information is at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. Thanks to my producers Luke Martin and Richard Chinqui. This is WGCU Fort Myers 90.1 FM, WMKO Marco 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.